Ladies and gentlemen, well, let's be honest, mostly gentlemen, my name is Sam Skibby, and thank you for joining me for your first Friday afternoon of the Holy Commutes radio show, the only show in Wiffle Ball that brings you daily Wiffle content from around the Wiffle world. You can follow Holy Commutes on Twitter at Holy Commutes, that's Holy with an E. What do you say we get this podcast started? Here we go.
I wanna shine with shades of you.
Run around in the sunshine, baby, I'm chasing you. Got a smile that tastes like daisies, that yellow, purple, and blue.
Yeah, everybody's still talking about the president, but I'm just over here and thinking how your heaven sent. You got me living on your loving, drunk all of a sudden, whoa. I've been around, I've seen every kind of lover, a fool in technicolor, but now I wanna shine with shades of you.
You know, every season, Holy Commutes has evolved, and this third season that they are entering into is no different. When I came up with this Holy Commutes idea, I never thought I would be the first to actually leave as a regular host in this adventure virally. You know, for the first season, we had four daily hosts, and Friday was reserved for a guest to talk about any topic they would like. In the second season, we added Caleb Yonkman and moved the guest host to Friday afternoon, kind of gave the listener an extra episode to start their weekend off, you know, the Wiffle way. In between the second and third season, I gave up my seat when I heard we had the opportunity to collect a new host by the name, I'm sure you heard it on Monday, of Paul Cook. If you didn't hear his Monday debut podcast, go out and take a listen. I know he's done podcasts before out there in the Wiffle world, but it's so awesome that Holy Commutes could kind of collect him as a part of their hosting lineup. And while his podcast was a bit longer than the usual Holy Commutes that we kind of have been bringing to you the past two seasons, everything he says has a kind of historical perspective and gives the listeners a chance to hear from someone outside of the kind of old NWLA realm. You know, another reason that I wanted to kind of take a step back, and it's sad because now that we're in this kind of COVID-19 crisis, I really had the time to continue on with Holy Commutes, but I know that there's so many people out there that can make this into something so special. But one of the reasons that I knew I wanted to step away from something outside of Wiffle Ball was I wanted to get the hype back for my own league in St. Louis. And we had a down year in the 2019 offseason, you know, lack of podcasts, lack of articles and things like that. And my goal was to kind of bolster that before the 2020 season. But of course, I knew that I couldn't stay away, especially in this COVID-19 crisis. And all we have is time. So now I am the first guest of season three. I want to thank Trent Steffes for taking over as the main contact for this Holy Commutes adventure. And I know he's going to do an amazing job about taking my brainchild to the next level in the Wiffle world. Also, I want to thank all the listeners for being loyal and coming back to this daily Wiffle Ball podcast every single season. If you didn't listen, we wouldn't be doing this. So, and I know we never could have imagined that this idea would become so popular. So we thank you again, and we hope that you keep listening, not just the third season, but beyond. And unless you are considered essential, let's be honest, what else do you have to do? So I was trying to think of a good topic for this Holy Commutes, for this first Friday podcast as the guest. And my topic today is I want to actually talk about leaving a generational legacy. My son just recently turned 7 months this past week. And for those of you that don't know, I also live halftime with my stepson, who is 9 years old. And you know, yes, I know what you're thinking. He's a great help around the house already with a 7 month old and can, you know, hold him and play with him and be with our 7 month old. And it's his first sibling, so he's really excited about it too. And it's been great to see. And if there's any positive in this COVID-19 crisis, it's I'm able to spend time with them and my family. So, and I'm sure all of us are doing the same thing too. But already, both of them are ready to start their own Wiffle Ball League. And you're probably like, Sam, your 7 month old is ready to start his own Wiffle Ball League? Well, yes, he is. He plays more than any other toy. He plays with the Wiffle Ball the most, as you can imagine. And my 9 year old, actually, last Christmas from Santa, he actually received a kit on how to build your own wiffle ball league. It came equipped with like a rules blanks to fill in the blanks for his rules. It came with how to build a field. It came with all these different things. It even came with a blank hat to start creating a logo. And he was really excited about it. And we kind of have made a plan. When we were looking for a house, my significant other and I, we knew that we had to have room for a wiffle ball field in the backyard. And now I know what you're also thinking. Yes, I say we because that's how amazing my significant other is. She wanted a wiffle ball field in our backyard too because she's seen what it has done for me and my brother, our friends and our family. And after we finally purchased the perfect house, within the first year, I worked with my 9-year-old on phases to the field. You know, after he got his little Christmas present, we worked on, okay, how can we phase this out and start this league and start thinking about how we want to create this field? And I'm happy to say that this coming Monday, phase one will be complete. My father and I removed 6 trees that we could manage, just the two of us, from my backyard. It's kind of heavily wooded. And a company is coming out to get rid of 5 more. And this will clear an opening in the middle of my backyard that will be perfect for a wiffle ball field. And once those are gone, the sun can get the middle of that wooded area and phase one will be complete. And obviously phase two would be to clear it and grow grass. And I'm not going to talk about all the phases we're looking to complete as we head towards our goal of being ready by the summer of 2023, because that would put Jackson, my little 9-year-old, will be in middle school by then. But it's exciting that the trees as the first step will be done very soon. Now let's get back to this league formation and this generational legacy. And for all of you league founders and commissioners out there, you know, I've been a commissioner of the SWBL here in St. Louis since 2003, and I've never faltered, I've never wavered, I've never given up my spot. I have thought about it before, and we even had talks about, in the Chris Galloway era, you talk about all the democracy of things, and we talked about how should we have, you know, every year or, you know, have a 2-year cycle where we go through and we do an election. And people thought it was a really silly idea for there to be a commissioner that wasn't a skibby, considering it's in our backyard. And but if you could go back in time as a commissioner to the time that you created your league, this is a big question that I've always thought about, is what would you change? You know, some might think that your league has to evolve, you know, to get to like the apex of where you may or may not be. And that may be true, but for me, I always think about, I wish that our entire history of our league was the same as it is now, because we don't really make a lot of changes now. You know, we didn't have pitcher's poison when we first started. Heck, when we first started, we didn't have a strike zone. We literally were just lobbing pitches in. It was pitch to hit contact, and if you have struck out, it was because you had 3 strikes on you. I mean, it was ludicrous at the time to think about now, and we obviously have changed and evolved, and some might say, but you have to go through all of that. But there are so many things that I wish my middle school self would have done that could have made for a better historical analysis in our current era that we play in. So obviously for my 2 boys, I'm making sure that they start off with the best foot forward that they could in creating a league. And I hope that not only they enjoy this aspect of football and these parts of wiffle ball, but they set themselves up for minimal changes in the future so that they can kind of compare those seasons that they had from the beginning. Because in the SWBL, we really can't compare the first couple of seasons. We went from a 2-man era to a 3-man era to a 4-man era to a pitcher's poison era, and it keeps gradually evolving. And each league comes with choices when you start creating your own league. And a lot of you will have gone through these same similar debates, for lack of a better term. And I will listen to Jackson and McGuire's suggestions when they want to create their own league. But let's be honest, I'm going to put my foot down as the experienced Wiffler and father on some of these. And my goal today is to go through a few of them. Obviously, we're not going to go through everything that incorporates in a league. We're not going to go through how we're taking stats. We're not going to go through who's going to make up the leagues and all that kind of stuff. I just want to talk about some of these little debates, these 2 different things that you can pick from to kind of create and form your wiffle ball league. And the first one that I want to talk to everybody about is something that the SWBL switched to. From 2003 until 2010, our league was specifically a full summer league. We played the entire summer. And so many people are used to us now having the weekend style, you know, where we play on Memorial Day. But, you know, that full summer versus the weekend league. So it's like a tournament style weekend league, but or the full, you know, summer league with the weekly schedules, kind of like HRL does it. And I loved doing the full summer league, but we had to adapt and we had to evolve, because when you go off to college, you go off and get your own jobs, you aren't able to do that full summer league anymore because people are other places around the country. So I'm going to push that my kids start their summer, they start their league as a full summer league. But I also think it would be cool to add in like a weekend style for like playoffs. So like Labor Day, that way it doesn't compete with Memorial Day weekend for the SWBL, because that'll still be going on, let's be honest. But we're going to have kind of this Labor Day style playoffs in on a weekend. So all the playoffs are played on Labor Day, so they can play their full summer schedule and go Labor Day. And that's what I'm going to suggest to them. Now, obviously, they can choose which one they would like. Maybe they want to choose their entire weekend on Labor Day like we used to. But I think that it would be so cool to have the full summer league, especially when they go through middle school and high school. And then when Jackson is out of high school, that's when McGuire will start being in middle school that same age and can start continuing on that legacy. You know, have the barbecue, have the playoffs on those days, and maybe even on Monday after the league is done for Jackson and McGuire, maybe their champion plays the SWBL champion. Wouldn't that be a sight to see for sure? Or maybe it's like an all-star event or something that would be fun to do as well. Another thing that goes along with that is the playoffs. You know, our league plays a one-game playoff elimination, and many leagues are like that. You have one and done in your playoffs. But there are some leagues out there that do best of series, and I think that's amazing. I would love to have a chance for a two teams that make it to the championship to play a best of three series or a best of five series. So kind of suggesting that to them as well. Some of the bigger ones, and these are the main rules that you kind of have to come up with when you're forming a league, is medium versus fast. You know, scuff balls versus non-scuff balls, yellow bats versus big barrel bats, base running versus non-base running. You know, these are the four that I'm going to be leaving up to my sons. You know, I'm going to leave it up to them on what they want to decide to do. But here would be my suggestions to everybody starting a league out there. When it comes to medium versus fast pitch, I like the two-mound idea, and I know a lot of different people are utilizing the two-mound method, where that would be you could pitch slower from the medium or fast from the farther back. I know MNWA is really doing that now with their league that they're doing in their indoor league, and they have the medium you hit with yellows and the fast you hit with big barrels. So that would kind of help out the yellow bat big barrel concept. If they're going to pitch fast over a certain speed limit, then you get to use big barrel. If you are going to be at the medium pitch and you're going to be a little bit slower and abide by that pitch limit, then you can use the yellow bat. So I think I would suggest that, because I think that's a cool thing that the MNWA is doing. But I know that they might want to just do complete pitch to contact, and I love that because that's what we do. And we love the hitting. We love the offensive side of it. But sometimes we miss out on a lot of the fast pitch stuff, you know, the strikeout counts and all that too. But I'm going to leave it up to them, but that's going to be my push, is maybe do a two-mound thing so you have the best of both worlds. Now, scuff versus non-scuffed balls. The SWBL is a huge proponent, and the NWA tournament is the same way, of doing clean balls. I think it's the fairest way for you to see across the board the skill level of everybody. And it's one way to bring everybody down to the same level. You have the same exact ball, brand new ball, out of the box, and or minimal scuffing, I guess, or minimal blemishes on the ball. But I'm actually, for their league, I'm going to push, and this is between you and I, listeners, I'm going to push that they actually use used and scuffed balls. The main reason is that they can use the old balls used from the SWBL, and we can save some money. I mean, let's be honest here. We have tons of balls and bats inside of my parents' garage where the Blur is located in St. Louis, and tons of buckets of balls everywhere, and these balls just can't be used. I have three balls in my garage here at my house because they're just old SWBL balls that I play with Jackson out in the yard when we hit around. But I'm going to push that they go with these scuffed used balls, and I'm going to play up how much more movement you get out of these and how much some control you get out of these. But really, in the end, like, I'm a huge proponent of clean balls, but I think I'm going to push the scuffed balls just to save some money. And they have a huge, already a huge inventory of those here from the SWBL. The last one, too, is that base running versus non-base running. And to be honest with you, I am completely up in the air. And a lot of you out there are going to be like, oh, no, you got to have base running. Oh, no, you got to have non-base running. You know, there's so many tournaments out there and great tournaments that are those two different styles. And the non-base running might work a little bit better. You don't have to have the running aspect of it. And you can, in a rougher terrain, like in a wooded area where we have to do some clearing, it might work out. And the less injuries, you could say, whatever it might be. But there's just something so exciting about base running and being on base and going through. Depending on how many people they want on each team, and depending on how many people they want on each field, they might have to do non-base running, no base runners, and that's fine. But that one is the biggest one that I'm completely up in the air for. And those are obviously the big things that you have to talk about when you're forming your league. And those are the big things that I'm going to talk about with them. Now, there's one more thing that I wanted to kind of talk about, and I wish we could go back from the beginning of the SWBL and do this, is media. We really did not start implementing media because it just wasn't around. Technology, the advancements weren't there when we were younger. You know, I want to give a shout out to MLW and their... They did a 30 for 30 on the Predators, and I watched the whole thing, and it was incredible. But to have that much media content from when they were so young, I mean, they look like they were in elementary school and or younger, 10 years old. And they started, I think I read, it was like 2011, 2013, and the advancement was a little bit better. We started when we were 2003. Back in 2003, they didn't have stuff like this. Or if they did, it was like you had to have a very specific market or specific job that you had to have that for. Nobody really had that big of a scene video-wise for wiffle ball, in my area at least. Now, I was clueless when it came to the national scene back then. We weren't a part of the NWLA until we got 2007, and I'm sorry, 2009. Like we didn't, maybe even later. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And I'm thinking the NWA started in 2006, and we didn't join until the NWA tournament came around. So 2011 was our first year. So we didn't even know about the national scene until about 2011. We were in the camp of we thought we were doing what we were doing. We're the most unique out of everybody in the country. But then all of a sudden, you see this explode and. MLW did such a great job. It was like growing up with these kids, starting from when they were 10 years old and now they're 18. But growing up and seeing them start from 2011, 2013 all the way to now is incredible. And I wish that we could go back into the archives and pull from some of that to do something like that, like a 30 for 30 documentary. It would be so awesome to see that content from back in the day. But let's be honest, we didn't have it back then. So for Jackson and McGuire to start their league, in this technologically advanced era that we are in, they're so lucky. And who knows, in 3 years or in 4 years, when we finally get this thing off the ground, there might be even more advances. You know, the cameras might be cheaper. You could probably get one of the GoPros that you have now, like one of the newer GoPros that are out now, for cheaper in 4 years, just because it does the job that you need to do. And I think that's one thing that Jackson, I know, is really excited about, is to have that and do that video editing and to get the new ways that you can see your games broadcast live to the world. And that's something that's going to be really fun for me to be a part of, to see them grow up, not just in front of my own eyes in person, but also to watch them grow up and videos that you create and documentaries that I can create for them in their league as well. So kudos to MLW for being kind of the pioneers when it comes to that technology side. And if you haven't seen it, go out and watch that 30 for 30 from MLW about the Predators and their championship that they had last season. It's something to behold just to see simply them grow up. So, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. That's my topic, that generational legacy, that leaving your legacy and trying to figure out what's going to happen for the next generation of Wifflers. I have no idea where wiffle ball is going to be in 5 years, 10 years, and even 20 years down the line. My personal hope is that the NWA tournament is still going strong. My personal hope is that people can still be collaborative and still be cordial to one another in our realm. My hope is that we can get some traction when it comes to possibly having a style that works for a television audience, whether it's a one little thing on the Ocho, or you know, a series that might come out, or a documentary, or anything, local news cycles, whatever it might be. I know we wouldn't get a big name ESPN or a big name anything like that, but you know, ESPN the Ocho might do something eventually. You never know. And one of my biggest goals personally for my own league is that the SWBL is continuing every Memorial Day. And sure, we've talked about my kids, you know, taking over our teams and doing that. And that's something that everybody would do still, I'm sure. But to have your own league is something that was so near and dear to my heart. And I want my kids to grow up. It taught me organizational skills. It taught me friendship skills and social skills. It taught me athletic skills. Everything that I've kind of gone through, like wiffle ball is such a huge part of my life, and I can always come back to that: family, friends, camaraderie, and competition. And that's what wiffle ball is all about for me. And I am so excited for the next 4 years and see the phases grow out. And I can tell you, on Monday, I'm gonna have a very giddy feeling when I wake up Monday morning, knowing that these trees are gone and phase one is almost complete. You know, that's it for me. When this started on Monday, and you go back and you listen to Paul Cook, and then you listen to Caleb on Tuesday, and the Steffes brothers on Wednesday, Carl Coffey on Thursday, Justin on Friday mornings, and then being the guest is a little bit different for me. But it's still something that I want to stay involved in. The Holy Commutes is going to take off. And if this continues once every 4 months, and you can do this, and you won't lose traction when it comes to popularity, you won't lose people's interest if you do it once every 4 months, or once every 3 months, excuse me. And I think that all the listeners out there, if you stay loyal, this will continue on for sure. If you want to be a guest like I was, just reach out to Trent Steffes or send a direct message to the Holy Commutes on Twitter. That's Holy with an E. And I can't thank everybody enough for listening to me talk and ramble on this Friday about my two boys and their league that we're hoping to form in the next couple of years. But if you have any questions about league formation or anything, there's so many commissioners out there that would love to answer that have had success and seen success in their own leagues. And if you have anything that you want to suggest to me, you know, things that you want to suggest to my two boys, things that I didn't talk about, I know there's a ton more that goes into being commissioner. Trust me, I've been at it a while, but there could be things that I've missed and things that you wish you could have done. So respond on the Holy Commutes Twitter and say, what's one thing you wish you could have done differently in that first year that you do now, that you wish that historical analysis could have been the same? All right, like I said, that's it for me. Monday morning, we have Paul Cook back at it with his Wiffle insights and experience in his debut season as a weekly host. And don't forget to follow Holy Commutes on Twitter. That's Holy with an E. And download all of the National Wiffle Podcasts on any podcasting platform available. Thanks for joining me on this Friday afternoon, and I hope you have a fantastic weekend, Wifflers. See you.